Hello, and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 111, the I'm a Craftsy Girl episode. I talk about the class I'm taking over at Craftsy, Beyond Basic Machine Quilting by Ann Peters. I think that's what it's called, and I think that's what she's called. She may be Peterson, one or the other, but take your pick. She doesn't mind. Anyway, it's a Saturday, February 9th-ish, 2013-ish, and yes, just back from Will's basketball game. It's funny because yesterday I did the second quilt diary and I talked about how, they just were going to lose, and have loss, and guess what? They won. It was so sweet. They were so excited. They played really bad. No, they didn't play badly. They played really well. It wasn't that they just played a team that was so bad that they won. Although the team they played against, I have to say, not good. Oh, first of all, I have to tell you, I'm sitting here in front of my sad lamp, my seasonal affective disorder lamp that I just got. Sandy over at Quilting for the Rest of Us got one too, and she blogged about it the other day. Now, I got mine, what was it? I guess it came in Thursday. I think I talked about this last week. And so yesterday morning was the first morning. And I have to say, it made me feel sick. Part of it, I think, is the light is so bright. So if you could see me now, I'm sitting at my dining room table, really my quilting table, with this light on, and I'm wearing my reading sunglasses. And that's making it much, much better. Because yesterday, I really did. I was like, it was just so bright. And you know, I don't like bright. I don't like bright light. I don't like being in the sun. I like being outdoors on sunny days in the shade. But direct sun is not my thing. I know there are people who just really love it, like they're cats or something. They want to be in the sunny spot. I want to be in the shady spot, which is perhaps why I have seasonal affective disorder. It's funny because today is beautiful. It's going to be 50 degrees. It's sunny. I know, like, those of you in the Northeast are really snowed in, and I hope you're okay, and I hope you have power. I have some friends up there who are on Facebook. They're using their iPad. I don't understand how you can have electricity and still have the internet, but they do with the iPad. Go figure. And it's like they don't have power. They have 3 feet of snow, and inside their houses it's like 50 degrees, which, you know, if you're outside on a nice sunny day, 50 degrees feels great. If you're inside during a blizzard, 50 degrees feels really, really cold. So I've been there because we've had problems with our furnace in the past. Now we have a new furnace, so not so many problems. And, you know, that's chilly. It's chilly, and we had I guess right after Will was born, we weren't in this house, we were in our old house, there was a big ice storm, and we were without power for 5 days. We ended up going elsewhere out of our neighborhood to stay, but you know, the first day while we were just at home, kind of waiting for the power to come back on before we realized it was going to be a really long time, just sitting in the house in front of the fireplace, and you think, ooh, nice, cozy. First of all, Will was 6 weeks, you know, so that's a little, you know, not happy. But no, you just kind of feel cold and you run and get in the shower and stay there for a long time, you know, while you run out of hot water, use up all the hot water. Anyway, I feel for you if you are without power right now and really cold, or if you're without power in Hawaii, really hot. I don't know that it's that hot in Hawaii. Anyway, rambling. Anyway, so I am sitting in front of my sad light, and I'll let you know how it works, and I'll be interested to hear from Sandy. But right now, yesterday, really, within about 3 minutes of sitting in front of it, I felt ill. And I don't have it directly in front of my face. It's kind of angled off to my left, but it's fairly close. But with the sunglasses, it seems tolerable. So keep you updated on that. So I updated you on Will's game. Anyway, it was very sweet. They played well. They really played like a team. But they were, you know, I just am proud of these guys. I think I talk about it later. But it's been a rough season. But they've really developed as a team, and they just have good teamwork, and they cheer each other on. It's lovely. So in some ways, I feel like it's been a waste of a season. But in some ways, you know, maybe it's been a good season. I don't know. So, wow, we're getting on 40 minutes, and some of you can probably tolerate me rambling on for a long time, and those of you who can have probably quit listening to this a long time ago, but nonetheless, let's go. Got lots and lots of nice comments on my Irish chain quilt top, which has I've not done anything on the back yet. Just have been busy, I've had a cold, and have been working on my Craftsy class and other things. Anyway, so I heard from Noni and Shelly Beth, who said, "Nicely done, my dear." That's a nice comment. Heard again from Noni with some comments on Craftsy classes. All right, it's Ann Peterson, Beyond Basic Quilting. And she took the class and enjoyed it. And I talk about this a little bit, and I'm enjoying it. It feels a little basic to me. And, but you know, I've not really gotten to the quilting part, and that may be where it really gets going. Heard from Celia, who wants to know what's next with Red. I don't know, but something. Celia says she wants to make a schoolhouse quilt with red and cream fabric. Yeah, I want to do that. And she says her cream fabric tea dyed. I've never dyed any fabric, but I think that sounds beautiful. I love schoolhouse quilts, and I really want to do one of those too. Heard from a Sandy at Quilt Cabana. Quilt Cabana Sandy. It's fun. and she said that she finished Falling In and loved it. Thank you. Thank you, Sandy. Heard from Janet and from AJ Dub, also known as Amy. And this is interesting. I got some feedback. You know, I said about how didn't with the reds. I ordered this red fabric from Fat Quarter Shop, and I got it, and one of the fabrics was the right fabric, but I'd ordered two different fabrics, and I still didn't know. She said it might be a sticker on the fabric with a number that matches to your order invoice. Yeah, and she said, but that might be another shop. I think that's another shop, because I did not see that. I think we're going to just need to go with the Kona card. The next time I go to Thimble Pleasures, I'm going to ask about that. And Amy, AJ Dub, also said my mom's paper piecing looks great, and it really does. Heard from Glenna in Texas, who one of her New Year's resolutions is she's going to comment more on the many, many blogs that she tracks, and she commented here. Thank you, Glenna. I think my New Year's resolution is I'm going to write to authors, particularly poets, whose books I really like, and I never get around to that. So I'm so sympathetic to those of you who think about commenting but don't. And I was listening to Pam recently over at Hip to Be a Square, and Tanisha over at Crafty Garden Mom. I'm thinking Crazy Garden Mom. I'm like, no, it's not crazy. I think it's crafty. And I haven't commented on their episodes, their podcasts in a long time. And they're, you know, and I love them. So we all need to do better. We just do. And heard from Jenny D and from Tori, Kelly the Fifth, and Meredith, who loves Irish James and loves red and white. Now, when Meredith also, she had a really interesting point that I want to share. Having the selvages, what I said on the red fabrics that I got from Fat Quarter Shop is they didn't have selvages. She said the solid fabrics, at least the ones I have seen, don't have any kind of identification on them. Probably, listen to this, ladies, because they are dyed and not printed. And the identification on the printed fabric only tells you the pattern number, but not the color. So I'm just out of luck until I get over to Thimble Pleasures and see their Kona card. Thank you, everyone, who took the time to comment. I also, I'm trying to think if I heard from Sally this week. I think I did, because I was talking about wind. And she said that she emailed me and said, don't worry about the wind. It's really got to really be high for it to be a problem. Like they were saying in the Northeast, the winds are supposed to be really high, like 40 miles per hour, and they won't fly. I think they're higher than that. I think they're like getting 70 mile per hour winds. Good grief. Yikes. If you're up there, stay warm. All right. Thank you for the comments. And I think I even got some new iTunes reviews. So that's great. Keep those coming. That's very fun. One day I'll get 100. And we'll celebrate. I already have an idea. So I'm coming up on my third anniversary, podcast anniversary. I know I'm always saying I'm going to do a giveaway, but I've actually thought of something that's going to be like a big giveaway, because I have not done any giveaways ever. I mean, I'm such a bad podcaster. I'm sorry. But I thought of something. I thought I will do this, and it'll be like combining. If I've been doing giveaways all along, this will be big. And I got this idea, listening to Quilting for the Rest of Us. I'm very excited, but that will be in May. So that will give you, but maybe I'll announce it before May. Just to keep you listening, give you something. Yeah, if you're not listening, you won't know what the big giveaway is. All right. Comment over at theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com. I'm putting up the quilt top I made for the Craftsy class. It's a practice quilt top. I miscalculated on the colors. The colors work together, would work together in a block, but they don't work together as a top. and I want you to tell me why, and tell me what I what color I should have done instead for the either for the inner border or outer border. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. I think I would learn. Because I'm looking, I'm like, well, what should I have done instead? And I'm not sure. You know, you'd think it's by this time I would be sure, but I'm not. So tell me what you think. There's a picture over there. You can email me at fdow@nc.rr.com. I would love to hear from you. I appreciate you listening. And let's get on with the Quilt Diaries. P.S. I almost forgot. Tammy asked, what was the Irish chain pattern I used for my Irish chain? And Tammy's a simplicity pattern, and there is a link in my show notes. Can you believe it? I've actually included a link in my show notes. I know. We're all shocked. Okay, on with Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary Day 1. It is Wednesday, February 6th, I do believe, 2013. I'm just about to get down to work, but I thought I would record this diary. I might record more later. You never know. I just picked up the new Quilters newsletter, which is the quilting magazine that I am buying. I know a few episodes ago I said I'm not buying anymore, but I do like Quilters newsletter. And I did actually pick up, I just talk and talk, and I never, don't believe anything I say because it's all quite worthless. I did pick up American Patchwork and Quilting because it was the 20th anniversary issues, and it promised lots of tips and stuff. I thought, well, and I also like the quilt on the cover. So I did pick that up, but that's it. That is it. And unless I come across Quilt Mania, which I have not seen in either Barnes and Noble or Joann's. Where is it? I don't know. But that's it. That's all I'm getting. Well, my mom renewed my McCall's subscription. So just that's all. Anyway, I thought, you know, there's actually a lot in the Quilters newsletter, as there always is, to talk about. And so at some point later, I might talk about that. Well, the one thing I was thinking about, I was looking at the winning quilt from Houston in the fall, and it's beautiful. I think it's called America Shines. It's a beautiful, I mean, it's gorgeous, gorgeous quilt. But, you know, so many of these winning quilts, I feel like the last few years are quilts with these big medallions in the middle. I think that that's what you could call it, a medallion. And this beautiful, you know, borders and what have you. And I wonder why that is. Is it just that they're so complicated? I mean, this quilt looks very difficult and complicated, and it's beautifully done. So I'm in no way suggesting it shouldn't have won. But there seems a little bit of sameness in the kind of quilt that keeps winning these things. Why is that? Is it just, maybe it's just that's the thing right now? Maybe these quilts are just so spectacular that, you know, no patchwork quilt is going to ever stand up to its glory. I don't know, but I'm curious about that. I'm very curious. What are your thoughts? Here's the things I have to tell you right now. One, I made it back from Nashville alive. The wind was not a problem. The wind actually had died down on Friday when I flew out. Flying back into Raleigh, the wind had picked up, and it was fine. It's really not a problem, except it did make the last 10 minutes of the flight was kind of shaky, and I was not feeling great. So you know when we talked last week, I was getting a cold. You probably can hear that I still have the cold. I took the zinc lozenges, and they worked very well. And I took them steadily Thursday and Friday. And then Saturday, I took one, maybe two, but I couldn't do it. They tend to give you kind of a, I don't know, there's something, a dry mouth or something. And I was speaking all day Saturday, so I really, I took one and actually kind of regretted it because for the first 30 minutes or so of the panel, I felt kind of weird when I spoke. So, and then, you know, after that, I was like, I'm once all the stuff was done, I'm like, I'm not taking any more. Because, I don't want to overdo it with the medicine. So, and then as soon as I stopped, it was like, whomp, the cold came. Partly because all the stuff is exhausting, too. It's very fun. The students were great. We had a great time talking to them. Had a great time seeing my friends. And just talk. And like Saturday night, there was a dinner party for the panel and the students and some of the faculty members in the MFA program, one of whom is Tony Early,
who wrote Jim the Boy, among many other things, and is, I think, a wonderful writer. And I'd never met him, so I got to meet him. I didn't really talk to him. For whatever reason, just didn't work out. But he was quite lovely, and he's from North Carolina, and he's got a great accent. So that was nice. At least I can say I've met Tony early. But it was just talk. I talked with these two young women, fiction writers, and they were great. You know, it's very energizing to hang out with smart 20-year-olds, you know, mid-20s. You know, they're just kind of coming into their own. And that was a lot of fun. And then at 9, so I stayed at my friend Kate's house. And her husband, Jeff, I've known Kate and Jeff since 1986. I've known them almost 30 years now. And Jeff is the women's tennis coach at Vanderbilt. So last time I went to this panel, which was 2 years ago, he was not there because he's always on the road with his team. And in fact, this time on Saturday, his team was down in Atlanta, but they came back. He got in around 9. And he's just one of my favorite people, like super big energy, just smart, reads everything. And so, of course, when he showed up, I mean, I had to talk to him. I mean, I had told myself earlier, I'm going to bed at 10. I'm exhausted. I need to go to bed at 10. I don't need to stay up late. And, of course, I stayed up till like 12:30 talking with Jeff because I hadn't seen him in a long time. And we had, you know, the world's problems to solve. So, of course, when I got up Sunday, I was just exhausted. I was exhausted. And I really felt horrible. And, in fact, you know, at some point, I was just like, I've got to go upstairs and lie down before my flight. And I just thought, wow. How am I going to do this? I felt so tired and just so, and I had taken some cold medicine and that had a huge mistake because I'd done it on an empty stomach, and that's why one of the reasons I felt so terrible. Fortunately, I took a nap, and once I got up, I felt better and I was able to eat because that was I was like so scared. It's like, what if I have to get on this plane without taking Dramamine? But like, I can't take Dramamine on an empty stomach. But I didn't throw up, yay. Although the last 10 minutes of the flight, I was like, ooh, just hang in there, baby. You can do it. And but I just kept calm. I breathed deeply. I just breathed in through my nose. I was very calm. I'm like, you're going to be okay. I kind of talked myself out of it. And then we landed, and I was fine. And the man and the boys picked me up, which was very sweet. And I mean, I knew the man would come, but I didn't know the boys would come. So that was nice. I came home and just watched the Super Bowl and, you know, collapsed. Anyway, so it was good. I also came home to an email from my mom saying the Craftsy thing had worked out. The Craftsy people are very nice. So I have started my machine quilting class for Beyond the Basics Machine Quilting. Who's the teacher? Ann Peterson. I've just watched the first class. I did that Monday, and that was mostly really her talking about her experience as a quilter and her qualifications as a teacher, and then talking about what we would need for the class. So yesterday I went to Joann's and bought supplies, because I just figured with, you know, you're making a sample quilt, which is very simple, but you have to have a quilt, right, to do a machine quilting class. And you know what? Batiks at Joann's are as expensive as batiks at Thimble Pleasures. But they're not as nice, I don't think. But what I got was a solid, the main center piece of the quilt, just a solid kind of ocean green. And then the inner border, I did sort of orangey, greeny batik. And then the outer border is also batik. You're supposed to do solids, but it's pretty dark. I think it'll be fine. But a greeny batik. And then I just got the same green for the backing that I used for the center block. So I guess we'll watch the second lesson, and I'm assuming we will be told how to construct the quilt. And then you just do all this sample quilting, and it looks really fun. So I'm excited. That's project one, doing the class, learning how to become an amazing home machine quilter. Project two is making the back. Excuse me. I just coughed a very ugly cough. Anyway, is making the back for the Irish chain, which I'm just going to piece together stuff from, you know, the leftover fabric. And then, you know, and that could, maybe that'll take me, I kind of like, once I get it pieced and basted, I'm going to want to quilt it, but I need to be patient, you know. I need to actually learn what I'm doing. That's the whole point. But it's like the same time, like, oh, I want to quilt this. But, you know, I also have the mosaic quilt to work on. I have things to work on. So that's project three. And by the way, see, it's really good that I went against my values and goals and what have you and bought American Patchwork and Quilting, because they have, there's an article like on the most popular blocks. I have it right here. Is it worth it finding it? No. Although, even though, as I say that, I'm going, where is it? Where is it? But I think it's in there. That is the 20 most popular blocks. And one of them, Mosaic. There it is, in print. It's like the New York Times. It's in print, and it's a mosaic block. So we are so correct in calling this quilt the mosaic quilt. And I did do some cutting on that, so I'm ready to put some blocks together on that. And then, project four. I'm going to make a quilt for my friend Kate, which I've been thinking about doing for a long time. And she's kind of sad right now. She's got this stuff. Her mother passed away, I guess, last fall, maybe at the end of last summer. And they had a very difficult, difficult relationship. But that didn't make, you know, but still. I think sometimes, this is just conjecture, but I've wondered about this. If you have a very difficult relationship with a parent and that parent dies, if in some ways, you know, obviously just the loss and the shock and the horror of the death, but also you never, that relationship is never going to be put to rights. And that in itself can cause a kind of grief. Anyway, I was thinking about that. So anyway, so she's sad about that and some other stuff that's going on. So I thought, of course, I will make her a quilt and it will all be better. But, you know, I'm glad that I waited to be in her house, which I've been in many, many times. But, you know, she's got a lot of red in her living room. It's a small, very cozy living room. But, I had thought maybe a red and white quilt, but it's not a red and white quilt room. It's really more of a golden quilt kind of room, although not the blues so much. So I'm glad, because a red and white, I mean, she would have been happy to have a red and white quilt. Don't get me wrong. People love quilts. The Muggles. So easy. But it wouldn't have been the right quilt for that room. And that's what I imagine, because she reads in that room. And I imagine her with the quilt on her lap as she's reading. Anyway, so I thought, I need to make Kate a quilt. And, you know, and of course, you know, more of my big talk. Oh, I'm going to start designing my own quilts. Well, I am. One day. But not today. And I remembered a book. Well, here's the thing. This is so funny. This is how, like, clueless I am. I remember this book that I got out of the library by Kim Brackett. I got it out last fall, called Scrap Basket Sensations, More Great Quilts from 2.5-inch Strips. So I checked it out of the library again. Well, of course, the reason I remember it is because that's where the golden quilt was from, although it's not called the golden quilt. I can't remember what she calls it in her book. It's not the golden quilt. She has her own name. But that's where it came from. And there are really, I don't know how many projects there are, how many quilts. Let's see, 18 exciting quilts. I'm looking at the book description on the Amazon. And I remember having looked at it and thinking, oh, there are a lot of quilts that I like. And then I checked it out. I'm like, yes, there are at least 6 quilts. This is like a Pam and Nikki Lintott book for me in terms of just so many quilts that I would love to make from it. And in fact, there are so many quilts that I went ahead and bought it. And I'm trying to not spend too much money. But I say that and then I go, do things like buy books and a sad lamp. I bought one because Sandy over at Quilting for the Rest of Us just posted, and she bought the model that I had been looking at on Amazon that's fairly reasonably priced. These things can get really expensive, and this one's in the 60s, so it's not that much. So I went ahead and got that, although today the weather is... I think by buying that, I've ensured that the rest of the winter will be beautiful and sunny and 55 degrees, and I'll be happy as a lamb. That's okay. Worth it. Anyway... So yes, spending money left and right, left and right. But I decided to buy this, even though I had it checked out from the library. But I thought, you know what? If you're going to make 6 quilts out of this book, or however many, pay the woman her money. I'm an author. I want people to buy my books. I understand. A lot of people are going to check them out from the library. That's cool. I'm good with that. That's libraries buy books too. So yay. But I'm like, if I'm going to make, okay... Because I'm also thinking about, you know, doing the quilt for the director of the lower school. And they're beautiful quilts. I could easily do one of the quilts in this book. I'm just like, pay the woman the money for her patterns. You love her work, support her work. So I bought it. It's coming today. Yay! I wish I had it in front of me and I could tell you. I don't think I do. I think I moved it to the other room. But there's a beautiful quilt that I'm going to make out of batiks. Got a lot of stars in it. It's very pretty. And so, and in fact, the only thing is, I went online, I went to the usual suspect places. I think it's, I mean, obviously you can buy batik jelly rolls, but it's somehow, I don't know, it's like I went to Fat Quarter Shop, my favorite place to shop online, and I didn't really, there were just a few. So I think, so I just did the math and figured out, and I'm going to go to Thimble Pleasures and, you know, I'm going to buy, and I'll need to buy 10 quarter cuts, quarter yard cuts, and then so my, anyway, I wrote it all down. So instead of getting jelly rolls, I'll just cut my own strips. But it's really pretty. I wish I had it in front of me, and maybe later I will. I'm such a bad, bad podcaster. I'm sorry, but I'm excited because it is. I'm excited about the book. I'm excited because I really think I will be able to find several patterns for what I want to do. I also want to make my niece, Elizabeth, in Atlanta a quilt for Christmas. I know my mom has made her a quilt, but can you have too many quilts? I don't think so. So I feel like I've got patterns galore. Yay, I'm excited. I feel very quilty right now. Oh, you want to know why? Jack has moved. Yes, not out of the house because, well, God is good. He's not that good. I'm just kidding. I love Jack. I love Jack. I just wish he were sweeter to me, but I don't deserve it. I know my mom just laughing. How things, what comes around, goes around, baby. But Jack has started working in the man's study. Have I told you this? Oh, as Allison says, it doesn't matter if I've told you. I'll tell you it again. Your memory is probably as good as mine, which is to say lousy. And it makes such a huge difference. It made me realize I have not been working in the afternoon because Jack is here. And not because I mind his presence. I'm just so aware of how much he minds mine. But, you know, last week I just started being in here more while he was in here. And he's like, out of here, baby. He's like, nah, I don't think so. So, anyway, yay. Look, I've got my space back. I fought back the intruder and he's gone. But that'll be good because I am feeling very quilty. And I'm excited about my classes that my mom and I, as you may know, are going to the quilt show in Cincinnati. Let me know if you're going. And I'm trying to think. I guess it was like 2 weeks ago that we sent in our registrations. Now, I sent mine in. I got it in the mail. The day, can you hear me? I've moved over to my desk. I want to tell you the classes that we signed up for. One is color theory and interaction, and I think it's for modern quilts, but that doesn't matter. I like modern quilts, and more importantly, I'm interested in the color theory. And then the other one is Perfect and Painless Lady of the Lake. It's a block. And so I got both my classes. Very exciting. And that's all we're doing. There were other things, but it's just sort of has to do with the amount of time that I could get away to be there. So I'm looking forward to that. I don't know what else I'm looking forward to. All kinds of things. But anyway, I need to get to work. It's getting late. But I wanted, and now look, we're almost at 20 minutes. So hey, it's practically a podcast already. Excellent. I don't know what pictures I'll have to show you. Maybe I'll get my sample quilt put together. It's not going to be very exciting. Maybe I'll get my mom to send me more pictures of her quilts, which are so pretty. Yes, that's it for now. Okay, I'm going to be back. You go get to work. We'll talk soon. Quilt Diary Day 2. It's Friday, February 8th. And I won't make a big deal about not being a Thursday girl because, you know, it occurs to me, some of you who are listening to this are actually listening to this like in April 2014 or something. You're like, why is she making a big deal Thursday, Friday? You know, whatever. I have to say, I've been catching up with Pam over at Hip to Be a Square, and a couple weeks ago she posted on Thursday and had some lame excuse about her husband having surgery the next day and the difficulty of podcasting from a hospital. Pam, it's been done. You could have done it. Anyway, yeah, it is Friday though. And I hoped to post last night, but I wanted to make the quilt top for my Craftsy class. I have made it. I almost got it last night and I just got tired. You know, winter tired, the way you get at night where you think, oh, I'm going to do this and that, and you don't. You just kind of curl up in a chair and watch, you know, knit a little if you're a knitter, and then you fall asleep. And I actually worked a fairly long time to get this done. I took a picture. I just finished it up a few minutes ago. And it's funny because, I mean, it's just, you know, it's just this little quilt top to practice machine quilting on. So it's not a deal, you know. But I thought when I bought the fabric, which I think I told you I bought at Joann's, I was sort of interested in my fabric choices. The middle is a green, kind of a, I think as I said, what I think of an ocean green, kind of, sort of. It's a green I like. It's actually kind of the green that's on the walls of my study. And then the inner fabric is an orange batik with some browns in it. And then the outer border is a batiky green, slightly darker than the inner green. I thought, oh, that's going to be very interesting. And you know what? It's kind of muddy. Again, it doesn't matter that much because it's a practice thing. And it's a good lesson. You know, when you make mistakes, you learn. And yeah, just, yeah, not working. Doesn't matter. And yes, so, but I took a picture so you can see how it's kind of not working. I'm on maybe the third lesson, and this is beyond, what is it called? I've told you before, I probably mentioned it earlier, so whatever I said before about sort of beyond basic machine quilting, something like that. The teacher's name is Anne, perhaps Anne Peterson. And I'm on the third lesson. The first lesson, kind of given her credentials about herself, you know, why she's a great person to teach this class, and sounds like she is a great person to teach this class. The second was really the supplies. And then the third, which I've just started, I think she's actually sitting at the machine now with her basted quilt, and she's talking about, you know, quilting gloves versus this versus that, what you're going to do to maneuver the quilt. Now, I have to say, she's very likable, very good, a very good presenter of the material. At this point, it actually seems very much like machine quilting 101. Now, we're going to get into actually doing feathers and things like that, and that's when it's going to get more advanced. But I'm a little surprised that so much time has been spent on basic information, although these sessions have not been that long, and it may be she just felt like, you know what, I need to cover this stuff. I need to cover, you know, using a different thread in the top of the machine for your top stitch and different thread in the bobbin. You know, I need to cover that. I need to cover needle sizes. And that was, you know, not unuseful information. I took notes. I think that's a really cool thing. If you've not taken a Craftsy class, so when you're taking it, while the teacher is speaking, there's a space for you to take notes. And when you start typing, the class pauses, which I think is really super cool. And so I have taken some notes about needle sizes and about thread sizes and things like that. So is it a thread size? Whatever it is. I think that's very cool. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to be I'm not unsympathetic to begin with, but I am kind of like, okay. Let's get on with the show. But she really may just feel as a teacher, she's got to cover it just in case. And also she's saying, this is what I do. You know, so you may have learned it a different way, or, you know, I mean, I have been machine quilting for several years now, and there's information I don't have. You know, a lot of it, I'm winging it. Now, here's where, for me, I can't decide what to do. She is very into spray basting the quilt pieces, the quilt sandwich. And she's, you know, her thing, she's like, well, safe. It's the only way, she feels, that you can get every inch of the sandwich together. There's no spot where it's unadhered, you know, where, and she's like, with safety pins, which is my preferred method, you know, first of all, you've got all the safety pins to contend with, and secondly, you know, you remove the pins to work in a certain area, and that area is no longer stable. And I kind of disagree with that, just because it's never been a problem for me, and I feel like, you know, you might remove pins with, say, in a 5-inch by 5-inch area. That area is still pretty stabilized by the pins around it. But she is very into the spray basting, although it's kind of like, do what you want, and just explains why she, Anne, does it that way. And I don't know quite what to do. I was talking with my mom today. My mom, mostly, I think, at this point, sends her quilts out to be quilted. But she does do, I think, in smaller pieces, does some machine quilting and has done machine quilting and took a class through her guild on machine quilting. And she says she very much likes the spray basting, that worked very well for her. Well, after I talked to my mom, I went onto Amazon to see how much spray based, a can of spray basting costs. It's expensive. And this, you know, so I have two issues with the spray basting. This is not to say I won't try it. I don't know if Joann's carries it. It could be one of those things where if I have a 40% off coupon, I might go give it a try. In fact, I might go to Joann's tomorrow, pop in and see if they carry it. But there are two things. One, quilting is so expensive to begin with. Now, also, a can of spray basting might last you 4 or 5 quilts. I don't know. But, you know, and I don't, but it is expensive. This is an expensive thing we do, and it brings us such joy and pleasure, and, you know, really brings joy and pleasure to everyone around us. So it's, you know, but we don't really talk about it, you know. We don't really talk about it. It's like, yeah, this is really expensive. And, you know, for some of us, for me, for instance, you know, there's a lot of, you know, I don't, for many reasons, don't just go and buy fabric because I love fabric. And part of it is I don't work that way. And occasionally, you know, I will. If I'm at Thimble Pleasures, you know, and I was doing this more last year, and I could see doing this again, kind of stash building, kind of seeing fabric that I really liked. And so just, you know, get a quarter yard or half a yard. You know, it's very affordable. Even at half a yard, it's like, you know, $5 or $6. And, you know, so I will do that, but I don't do a lot of like, let's shop hop, let's spend lots of money, because I don't have lots of money to spend. I have 2 children in private school. So, yeah. And so when you start looking at supplies that are not reusable, like spray basting, and it's $16 a can, and that was the least expensive. There were cans that were much more expensive. Kind of like, Or I could use safety pins, which I've already invested in for a huge cost of like $3 for 100, and are reusable and recyclable, and you know, don't put aerosol into the environment. I realize if you use spray basting, you know, the fact is that's probably less of a problem than, say, India adopting air conditioning when it comes to the environment. But, you know, I do think about this stuff, the money and, you know, yeah, the money, but also my own personal, really angelic and highly moral goal of reusing. And yeah, so anyway, you know, it's like as I say this stuff, I'm thinking, well, I don't want to offend anyone who uses spray basting. Like I said, if I get a coupon and Joann's has got it, I'll give it a try. Because it may be the greatest thing. And for some people, you know, it may just be, you know, it saves time and you're not on your hands and knees on the floor, which is how I baste. You know, I tape the bottom, the backing to the floor, and then put the batting on top of it, and then the top on top, and then I baste and pick up my nice hardwood floors. I actually haven't done any nicking yet. I keep waiting. But, you know, I mean, I can do that. I can get down on my hands and knees, and some people may be like, yeah, I can't do that, or whatever. Or it might be, you might have slightly arthritic fingers, and spray basting just works for you, or you just like the spray basting. You don't have to apologize. But I'm like, yeah, I don't know. But yeah, there's something in me that when I see like spray basting can, you know, cans of spray based, $20 a can, I'm like, I'm not spending $20 on a can of anything. That's just me though. So I don't know what I'll do with this. I may pop over to Joann's tomorrow and see what they've got, just for the experiment of trying it. But I don't mind the pins. Anyway, so that's where I am with the class. I hope I will have time tomorrow. So it's Friday. Tomorrow's Saturday. All we have on the docket is Will's basketball game at 9, which they will lose. Bless their hearts. I'm very proud of Will and all of his teammates because they go out there and they try so hard. And they're not bad. They just have a really bad coach. It really makes me mad that the lack of skills these boys have picked up, you know, have not. Sounds weird. The lack of skills they've picked up doesn't quite work. But just the lack of skills that have been taught. You know, if they had a losing season, but were learning all this great stuff and learning plays and learning how to run picks and all the things, you know, then you'd be like, oh, you got a bad season. But, you know, you really got a lot out of practice and you really learned a lot of new skills. And they just haven't. So I'm not pleased with this coach. And here's the thing, and this is what I hate about the world we live in today. I mean, there are many, many things I hate. Many things I love. This will seem relatively minor. But so every team plays in the tournament, you know, and you're thinking, wow, these guys haven't won a game. They will go in. They will be their first game. They will play the best team. They will be slaughtered. You know, how's that to end the season? Why not just say top six teams play or top eight teams play? Why make these guys go on? Why make their parents go on? I don't know. It seems wrong to me. Very wrong. And, yeah, I object. So it's not the last game. And I also, a couple weeks ago, we had an ice storm. Not a bad one, but the game was, it was a Friday night game and it was canceled. And now I'm hearing rumors they're going to make that up. Oh, don't make up the game. Let us get through this. It's just been so painful. But 9 a.m., basketball game. We'll get it out of the way. And then I really hope that it's going to be a day of quilting. And maybe some knitting and some cleaning and some attic work. Amy, I haven't forgotten you. I haven't forgot our Star Wars figurines deal. And have I mentioned free cycling? Doing some free cycling. So I would love to have, you know, one of the things I thought is we have in boxes upstairs all these old Valentines that no one's going to use. You know, you get not old Valentines, really boxes of unused Valentines. I thought I should gather them all together. That would be a great free cycling thing. Somebody would love that. You know, here's a, you know, five half used boxes of Valentines. So I may do that. But I would like to do a little attic work this weekend. But definitely a lot of quilting. I would like to work on my craftsy class and really get to the actual quilting part. What else to tell you? I'm almost done with a book called Old School by Tobias Wolff. It's a novel. It's a pretty short novel. I couldn't give you the page count, but I started reading it maybe Tuesday night, and I'm almost done. I'm about 20 pages left, and I liked it. It's set in a boys' prep school in New England in the early 60s. It's first-person narrator, a boy. He's a senior. He's come out from the West. He's from Seattle. He's a scholarship student. And one of the things that this school is known for is having visiting writers. And, you know, maybe he's not a senior when the story begins, but the first visiting writer who comes is like Robert Frost. And what happens is they have a contest, and all the students submit work, and the best of that work is submitted to the writer himself or herself. And the writer picks the best piece, and then that student gets to actually spend time with the writer one-on-one when the writer's on campus. The first one is Frost, and then, however you say it, Ayn Rand, and then Hemingway, which is huge, huge, huge for these boys because everyone loves Hemingway. Really good, really good. I have not read any Tobias Wolff. I have not even read this boy's life. And this was a book that got good reviews when it came out. And I think it was whenever we go to my parents at Thanksgiving, my dad takes us all of us, all his children, all his children-in-law, and all his grandchildren to nice price books. It says, have at it. And I think that's where I got it. So I've really enjoyed that. And I am reading a book on my iPad. My mom gave me her old iPad at Christmas. And she's such an, you know, early adopter, any technology. And when that technology goes up a level, she gets it because she's just a computer gal. She really is. And so she's getting a new iPad, and she very generously gave me her old iPad. And I have never really had any interest in reading on an iPad or a Kindle. But when I got my mom's iPad, and I was reading the New York Times on it, I was like, well, you know, this is kind of a nice experience. I kind of like this. And I guess I was asking Jack about it, about downloading books or getting, how did that work on an iPad? And he's like, well, you can get a Kindle app. And so he got me the Kindle app, and then he got me a book that's actually a free download called Little Brother by Cory Doctorow. And this is a young adult dystopian future fiction book. And I started reading it, and it's good. But last night I went to bed, and I took the iPad and read the iPad in bed. And, you know, it's weird holding, you know, I actually started holding it side to side to make it more book-like, it's odd to hold the tablet when it's vertical. It's very narrow. But in general, I kind of liked it. And I also have to say I liked being able to make the print larger. So, and it's funny because yesterday, I guess last night while I was working, I was listening to Sandy on Quilting for the Rest of Us. And she had just, and that's what she talked about, was reading quilting magazines and quilting books on the iPad or on an electronic device. And she talked about that there were magazines that she really liked reading that way, in part because they had kind of extras. So if there was a technique talked about, you could go to a video and watch that that technique being done. So there I was. And I was listening to that, and you know, it's kind of like, yeah, I could see that, because she was talking about quilting arts. I was like, yeah, that sounds kind of cool. So I'm kind of opening up to this stuff a little bit. I like regular books, real books, but I was very interested in that. I did like reading this book, Little Brother, on the iPad. So it's a whole new world out there. All right, well, I'm going to finish this up right now, and then maybe after dinner I will do the beginning, and then I will post it and post the picture of this unsuccessful quilt top. It's not horrible, but it's really not good. I think it would have been better if I had not done these two batiks together, the orange and the green. I think if I had done a solid, I think the orange batik is a nice inner border, but I think I should have done a solid outer border and maybe just a darker green. I think I could have stayed with the green family, but done something darker and again, solid. But you be the judge. I hope you have a good week. I hope you get a lot of quilting done. Make a little time for yourself. You deserve it. You work so hard. Come back next week. We'll talk a little more.